This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Valiant Central Podcast with Martin and Paul. There's no Travis, Paul. Travis is gone.
DMG bought him out.
Travis is sold.
Fired his ass.
What do they call it? I'm reading Ready Player One right now. They have like indentured corporate employees. He's indentured to DMG.
I gotta read that. But yeah, they bought his zero shares and then fired him so that way he wouldn't cause a dust up with the minions that are under their control.
You should read it. You should go to nerdylegion.com/audible and get a free trial. You get two free books. You can do Ready Player One as one of them.
Yeah, and I can do Ready Player 2, and I'll be just fucking sad.
Oh, man, they should do Ready Player 2.
I got to find a book that I want to, like, read with my ears. Because, you know what? Reading with your ears is the best way to read not comics.
That's
reading
true.
Comics with your ears fucking sucks.
Oh, man, if they had an Audible for comics, that would be terrible.
Yeah, especially, like, imagine reading a Bendis comic. You'd be like, who the fuck is saying that? I don't know who's saying that.
They're all saying the same thing.
Are there good guys and bad guys, or just one guy talking? Just one guy talking. That's the true answer there.
Oh, man.
I don't care if I ever read stuff I like from Bendis. I will always make fun of Bendis that way.
Yeah, I know. We'll see how he does at DC.
I've probably honestly read more that I've liked from him than that I've disliked. I just, once I had read enough stuff that I like was conscious of what I was reading, that's when I got to the, like, what the fuck is he doing here stuff.
I like his really old stuff. Like his indie
stuff.
Yeah,
I want to go, I know Nick's one of them, but some people have always told me to read his Daredevil, and I love Daredevil, and I haven't read a ton of Daredevil. I've read some, like, of the really solid Daredevil stuff, like, Frank Miller stuff, some of the best stuff. And I've read some of the more recent series, like, not in the last couple of years, but, like, when I was heavier into reading Marvel stuff, like in my first couple years of reading comics, I read a lot of Daredevil.
Yeah.
He's a redhead, so he already has that plus up on everybody else.
Oh, God. Here we go with the redhead crap.
More redheads in comics. We are underrepresented, and we carry more of the workload when it comes to being badasses.
Paul, no one cares.
Redhead scare. They're going to rise up against you,
yeah,
fucking
they're the only
dark-haired motherfucker.
Oh, is Vin Diesel redheaded? No, he's not, is he?
I don't know. See, he's my other brother, and he's a bald-headed motherfucker like me. Speaking of which, I'm super excited. My wife straight up told me to buy a ticket to a concert on Wednesday.
Which concert?
Haven't been to a concert since I moved to Maine. It's been like 8 years since I've been to a concert, and I'm going to see Epic Beard Men. No joke, that's who I'm saying.
I don't even know what that is.
It's Sage Francis and B. Dolan.
Oh, really?
They both have some bad motherfucking beards. So they have they just released an EP as the Epic Beard Men, and I'm so excited to go see them.
White people, you're so weird. Oh, that's cool.
Like,
I like Sage Francis. That's fun.
Yeah, Sage Francis is fucking awesome. He's been my favorite for a long time.
Yeah. I don't know this B. Dolan guy, but Sage Francis is good.
Oh, B. Dolan has been working with Strange Famous Records for like a decade now.
Hmm.
He started out doing spoken word. Like, I saw him doing spoken word. I don't think I've seen him. No, actually, I did see him. I've seen him a couple of times. Once was spoken word, and once was when he started actually rapping. But he's got a real, like, boom bap style. He's, I believe he's from, like, New York or from the Bronx, so he's, like, got that influence. But he's good. He has a song, if you want to check out. I've listened some to his newer album, which, actually, you know, I have it pulled up right in front of me so I could tell you a little bit about it. It's called Kill the Wolf. It came out in 2015. I know I've listened to it some, but, like, not enough to get the name stuck in my head.
Hmm.
But his album before that, Fallen House, Sunken City, which was came out back in 2010, there's a song on there called Marvin, and it's about Marvin Gaye getting killed by his dad. And it's a emotional song. Like it the style kind of stands out from the other songs, but like especially once I listen, like it draws you in because it's just one of those songs that, you know, gets to you even without understanding what he's talking about. But like once I listen to the lyrics, then it really hooked me.
They should change the name of it to Martin so I can make an appearance in a song.
You should change your name to Marvin.
No, man.
That'd be way cooler.
No, dude. I'm in too many comics now. I can't do that.
Drawing yourself on comics isn't putting yourself... That doesn't count. You gotta do like Daryl and just really, you know, kiss J.K. Woodward's ass.
Well, you know, Daryl shows up in Batman all the time. He's the butler.
That's because he kisses Tom King's ass real good, too.
And Campbell's the quarterback for the Gotham City football team.
I've kind of gotten a hint of that from tweets.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
That's funny.
Daryl gets killed all the time. I'm trying to think what he... I think he flipped the names. I can't remember what it is, but I think it's like Chris Taylor and Daryl Campbell or something like that. I don't remember. Anyways, I don't know. Somebody told me tonight that apparently I'm in Secret Weapons 0 and number 0. I haven't read it, so I don't know. The book's not out yet. I don't read preview copies.
I haven't even seen the preview copy unless I just overlooked it.
Mm. Yeah,
although maybe. I haven't paid super close attention the last couple of weeks. So I've been busy. We just got the big storm. 15 inches, yo. Right when my snow is almost gone.
That's exciting. That's very exciting. We have an announcement to make, Paul, but we're not going to make it now.
When are we going to make it?
We're going to make it at the end.
Later in this episode.
It's a very big, important announcement, Paul.
Let's just bring it all down around their fucking heads now.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Can't do that. There's stuff that I did want to talk about. So Hunter left Valiant, which that's a thing. No comment on that?
Over all the years we've been doing this podcast, we've been doing this podcast over 3 years, right? So first, we had a run where we were fucking terrible and nobody listened to us. So that didn't matter anyways. Then we had a run where we were good and we were talking about comic books and we had like backstock to talk about. And then we were super ambitious and we were doing Ivar's Long Box with Josh and we were collecting VH1 comics. And then I bought them all and then I read them. I was like, oh shit, these are 90s comics. I sold them all. Then I bought a house. That was cool. But man, we hit this point with the podcast where like it started to be too often that we were having to argue about people being asshole fans and criticizing everything they didn't like and just bitching about everything. And then, stuff would kind of get better again, and then we'd go through that again. And, man, for a while, it's just been a lot of that. And then, you know, this DMG news comes out, and it doesn't make us feel good either. But, you know, we sit here and we try to be the voice of positivity. We don't know what's going to happen. This, you know... Everybody, of course, tries to make allusions to what happened in the 90s. But, you know, that's as stupid as them trying to make comparisons between every fucking character that gets made and Solar and Magnus and Turok. It's like, no, they're just characters that are made. Yeah, of course you could make comparisons between characters because every character is based on some kind of archetype. But, I don't know. Went through all this shit, and then we get to this DMG shit, and Dinesh is gone, and that's bad. But it's not the end of the world. And then Hunter leaves.
Wait, you... What was your first comment when I told you that Hunter was leaving? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you. You said,
I was joking.
You said, well, damn it, who's going to send me my preview copies? Which you don't even read.
I do read them. I just read them a few weeks behind, and then I get all caught up. But I was joking when I said that, because you said it's just an automated email. I'll still get it.
Yeah,
but I said, whose name's going to be on my email? God damn it, whose name? Like, that matters. No, you know, it's like, what do you say? I mean, we've been kind of arguing against the overreaction from people because it just treads on everybody that still wants to enjoy what there is to enjoy. And that's still the case. Like, I mean, comics are still coming out. There's a lot of comics coming out that I'm still excited about. Shit, we got some movie news that's exciting. Like, regardless of whether you care about the movies or the comics or whatever, like, you know, if you don't care about it, whatever. If you care about it, it's good news to hear that something's actually happening. Like, I don't care if the comics disappear. If a movie comes out, I'm going to watch it and hopefully enjoy it. But Hunter leaving was just another, like, you know, it's like when you're a fan of a sports team that was doing great, and then shit goes down, and your favorite player gets the axe, and then just one by one, all the guys that you watched for, you know, are released, traded, not re-signed, whatever. You know, I've seen that happen. Like with, I mean, the 49ers were a great example. I'm a big 49ers fan. We had a few great years with John Harbaugh as the coach, and, you know, Colin Kaepernick started being the starter, and then it just got messy and ugly, and then everybody starts going away. And then it's just a fucking disaster. Mm. And so, I mean, that's what it feels like when this happens, you know? I mean, it's one thing. Dinesh was a big one to lose. But then when you start losing other people, you know, you start to worry about how long will it be until, like, I don't know. It's not a good feel. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of sucks. Because Hunter's been a pretty important part of this podcast, too, you know? Every time we set up interviews, we go through Hunter. We get books from Hunter. He's been awesome at the cons. He either heads or co-heads a lot of the panels at the conventions. So he's been pretty integral to the success of Valiant, I would say. And I saw a couple people talking about it. People, I mean creators. Like I know Jody was talking about it a little bit, how she's a little sad that he's gone. Because he was part of the reason why she went to work at Valiant. And, you know, say what you will about Faith, and I have plenty to say. You know, that was something new and different. And, and Jody tackled that without a problem. You know? And, I've seen that from a few different creators, how they're a little upset with Hunter leaving. You know? And at least Warren's still there. You know, that seems to be the general sentiment, so that's a positive. Yeah, I don't want to put this on a downer, but, you know, I wish Hunter the best. I know you do as well. And I'm sure that he and Dinesh will do some cool things at some point, right?
Yeah, you know, that's the not quite the silver lining. It's not a silver lining till it happens, but that's the exciting possibilities for the future. Is, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, obviously Dinesh was a hugely ambitious guy to, you know, do what he did as it was. And Hunter was an integral part, and you hear the people saying like what he meant, and, you know, they were why he's there. That says a lot, you know? So if they, you know, have cut loose from that and they're going to do something else, like, you know, one of the things I've said that has made Valiant so exciting to me, or at least, you know, getting into Valiant, is it's almost never happens where you get something that is completely new and unexpected that you completely love, you know, and you don't get that again. Like, I don't care how much I love Valiant. I will never feel about Valiant the way I did in that first, like, year, because now I'm familiar with the Valiant. Like, nothing they do can make that happen again. So, but, you know, if Dinesh goes and starts something out, you know, like right now, I'm not buying any monthly comics right now for money reasons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I buy my stuff, I buy it patiently and buy it digitally or buy trades. It allows me to be a lot more in control of when I spend what, and you don't get into that continually spending money on something just because you've been spending money on it. But eventually I would like to start getting at least a few books again. You know, it's fun to do that. Like, it's not just about the, you know, the black and white of the money or the value. Like, you know, in moderation, even if you're only getting very little, it's fun to do. And, you know, I really like my shop. I really like my shop owner. So it's like, it's enjoyable to go there, even if I don't buy anything, because like, I can actually have a conversation with the guy. As much as I liked like my last shop owner before that, man, it was hard to have a conversation. Like he didn't read any of the fucking books. So you can't even talk about comics, you know? Mm. But,
how can you run a shop and not read comics?
I don't know, man. I mean, the thing is, I've seen comments like this, and I've read articles even too, but it's like, when you run a comic shop, you're working a fucking lot doing
true.
It, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do it, you're just killing yourself if you're not engaged with what you're doing and able to, you know, like being able to sell something to somebody with emotion is how you really succeed with stuff. Like you have to be passionate about it to some level. You have to have some kind of knowledge, you know, otherwise it's just, you know, catering to the, like kind of the lowest common denominator. And it's hard to grow from that. Mm-hmm. And by lowest common denominator, I don't mean like, typically if you say that, you mean that in a negative way. I mean the easiest, the most basic thing, like the most basic thing is to buy, you know, the popular Marvel and DC books to a higher extent. By the less popular books to a lower extent, by the, you know, by indie books to an even smaller extent, and like just not really give a shit about your, you know, like the possibility of growth with anything. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so like if Dinesh starts up something new, like that's going to give me something to be excited about going out and get. I don't give a fuck what it is, you know, I'll give it a shot blindly if it's his, if he's the person behind it. You know, kind of like, you guys got into, Aftershock, right? When they started.
Yeah.
And so, how did you get, I mean, I know like you probably got into it because you have the time and money and inclination, whatever, to get a lot more comic books. And I know even now you've scaled back, but like.
Well, for part of the reason I got involved with Aftershock for me was Joe Pruitt.
And he said, yeah. So did you know Joe Pruitt?
Yeah. Yeah. I've followed Joe for, I don't even freaking know, dude, 25 years maybe. Cause he used to head up, Caliber Press. I think it's Caliber Press. Maybe it's Caliber Comics. They're still kind of around. But it was big back then. Matter of fact, we were talking about Bendis. Bendis got his start at Caliber. Mm-hmm. AKA Goldfish came out of Caliber. And, a bunch of guys do like Guy Davis, Bendis. Oh God, who else? There's so many creators that like, if you look up like the history of Caliber, you're going to see all these names you recognize. And a lot of them became really big at DC and Marvel once they went over there. But, they all started at this like small indie publisher. What was the name of it? It was an anthology series called Negative Burn. Where they just had like all these indie creators just pitching their own short stories in this comic. And, you know, I love anthology series. I always have. And I always, like, every time I befriend somebody in comics, I'm always like, hey, why don't you guys do an anthology series? It'd be really freaking cool. And the answer is always like, well, anthologies don't sell, so we don't do them. And, but like, that was hot back in the day, dude. Like, everybody did anthology series because people bought them. And the funny thing is, like, they tell me that now. But whenever I ask people that I know, like, hey, would you buy an anthology series, like, on this? Everyone's like, hell yeah, that'd be awesome. Like, I haven't read a good anthology in years. So, yeah, I've been following Joe probably since, like, I don't know, early to mid-90s, probably. When he launched Aftershock, I was like, oh, I know this Joe guy. And that's how that started.
Okay, that was what I was just going to ask you. So how was it when suddenly you see his name pop up doing something? Like, what was your reaction?
My reaction was like, hell yeah. I remember this from back in the day. What was the – he had a book.
So was it because he was writing Black Eyed Kids? Were you like, oh, look, Joe Pruitt's writing this book, so I'm going to check out this book, and then it grew from there?
Yeah.
Or did you see like a press release, Joe Pruitt starts Aftershock?
No, funny enough – I went to SC Comic Con, which is our local con here every year, and Aftershock had a booth, and it was like right before they launched. Or maybe like the same month that they launched. They launched in like March, April, May, something like that. And the con, I think, was at the beginning of April. So they had like a few single issues out. And, you know, you can get them before they were coming out because they were at this convention. And I walked past and I was like, okay, yeah, Aftershock, whatever. I don't even know who this is. Because, you know, you go to cons and there's always like some indie publisher. And I looked some of these stuff and like it looked cool, but I was like, eh, I don't know anything about that. And I think by like the third time that I walked past that aisle, I looked and I saw Joe Pruitt there and I was like, wait, this guy looks familiar. And I started looking at the books and I saw that, Palmiotti, that's when, Amanda Connor and Jim Palmiotti were going to launch, Super Zero.
Okay.
I don't know if you read that, but,
Actually, that was one. So I read that and I read the first issue. I was like, I don't really think this is for me. I'm probably not going to read the whole thing. You know, I'll read one more. I read that one. Yeah, there's no way I'm going to finish this series, but yeah, you know, I'll read the next one. I read the whole fucking series that way, literally the whole series. And, like, I'm not joking. Every issue, I said, I'll read one more, but that's it. Like, there's no way I'm going to finish this series until I finished it.
Yeah, and then that last issue was like, good. Hell yeah.
It was just good. It was enthralling. There was something about it, even with not having necessarily like anything to really relate to in it.
Yeah.
Or it being like the, you know, the type of story that I really want to read or whatever. Like, it just kept you going, you know, like it kept you wanting to see what happened next. You know, the character was, you know, enough to have some, oh God, what's the word? I'm blanking on the word. But, you know, like you cared about the character and you wanted to see what happened next. That's all there was to it. So, I mean, it was just like, to me, that's a good example of a comic book that like, it's just a good comic book. Like it doesn't have to be a big this or a big that. Like, you know, we get too deep into analyzing stuff and it's like, it has to like be something huge or accomplish something big to matter or to, you know, for people to bother reading it. But that's, like, man, some shit just has to be good shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, back in the day, I did not want to get into Outkast because I was an underground hip hop head and I fucking didn't want to listen to Outkast. Because they're mainstream, awesome. You know?
Yeah.
But you know what? You can't fucking ignore Heya. No fucking way. Like, no matter how much you don't want to listen to mainstream music, that song was just a good song. Mm-hmm. And it was simplistic. You know what I mean? Like, lyrically and like, but it was just so well done and so enticing. And that broke down some walls for me. Like back at, you know, I mean, I was younger then, like when you're younger, you're more idealistic and you're like, it's only this. That's the only thing that's good. And then you get older and you realize how fucking stupid kids are. But, yeah, I mean, that opened up my eyes to some stuff. Cause like, yeah, you know, there can be great stuff anywhere. And a lot of times, stuff like it doesn't have to be important. Like stuff just has to be good sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like Super Zero. It was just good. Like,
yeah, it was good.
It wasn't groundbreaking. The art didn't blow me away. The writing didn't blow me away. The art was good. Yep. The writing was good. Yep. And it was fun to read.
Yeah, you know, and generally I don't tend to follow creators. Although, like, you know, it'll give me some idea if I want to pick something new up, right? Because, like, the other one was, what was it, like, Bart Sears and Ron Mars and Paul Smith. They relaunched Ominous, I guess, last year. Matter of fact, at that same con, they were launching the month after. And I was like, well, what the hell's Bart been doing? Like, Ron Mars has still been working in comics. But, like, I hadn't seen anything from Bart Sears for years. Same with Paul Smith. And I saw him on there, and dude, I talked to those guys for like a freaking hour about the 90s Ominous books, and we talked about EXO, because obviously they all worked on EXO, and it was cool. Although I told Ron his EXO, my least favorite EXO.
what did he write? What stage of EXO did he write?
The Acclaim EXO.
Okay.
Yeah. It was when
I don't even think I bothered reading the shit that I own from that.
It was the scientist guy has the exosuit, And then when he gets killed, like the military, oh no, it's the other way around. The military guy has the exosuit. And then he gets killed in like the second issue and this scientist takes over the suit. It was something. but still, like I've still been a fan of those guys for years. You know what I'm saying? So, in particular, not having seen their work in a while, I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to pick this up and see what it's about. I'm trying to think who publishes their stuff. I think like IDW maybe publishes it, but it's not, it doesn't have the IDW logo on the cover. It's just Omnitrix. Yeah. So that's cool. I think they just did a Kickstarter too.
I like IDW. They do a good job with their stuff.
Yeah, yeah, IDW does good. But like with current creators, I don't generally tend to do that, right? Although like if I see somebody that I really like, that has a new indie project, I might give it a shot. That's what I did with, oh God, what's the book? The Realm? I don't know if you picked that up.
But, no. So for clarification, are you saying like you like, you know, writer X, you don't just pick up what they get because you like them? You, is that what you're saying? Or are you saying you don't follow them? Like you don't follow them on Twitter?
No, like saying? I don't necessarily like buy a book because that's who's in it.
Yeah, I got you. So you know, you love Jeff Lemire, but that doesn't mean you buy every Lemire book, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Do I buy every Lemire book?
No, because there was that X-Men book you wrote.
Oh, no, I bought that X-Men book. I got the whole series.
You know what broke that habit for me was the Hawkeye that he wrote. I don't even, like, I'm not judging it. I'm not saying whether it was good or bad because I need to read it with fresh eyes, but coming off of Fractions Hawkeye, it
was yeah. like yeah, that was fuck? That was the problem. Well, that was one problem.
The problem was with how Marvel did it. Like, not necessarily what Jeff was doing, but the way that Marvel handled that, not a good idea.
Well, I thought Fraction didn't even get to finish his stuff. Didn't he have like another arc or two left to tell?
It was weird. There were massive delays. They actually released the last Fraction issue after the first Lemire issue.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was badly done. But you know what? I loved that Fraction Hawkeye. I don't care if there were flaws there. You know, like as Nick was trying to burn it down for me, that bastard.
Hawkeye had other problems though, because when Lemire took over, they relaunched that book like 3 or 4 times. They do like 4 issues and then relaunch it with a different title, like all new Hawkeye, like the Invincible Hawkeye, like here's another Hawkeye, and it was just like the next arc in the story. Mm-hmm. Kind of like we talked about with Bloodshot, right? Because like that really irked me when they did it with Bloodshot. When they went from the ongoing series to, oh God, what was it? USA, Bloodshot USA. I was like, what the hell? Why are they doing this? And like, ultimately it doesn't matter. Right? It's just the renumbering is irrelevant. But it kind of irked me, dude. I was like, you can't be serious. Like, this is just the continuation of the previous arc. Just call it like Bloodshot 17 or whatever the hell it was. That kind of stuff bugs me a little bit, you know, because, oh God, like following that first issue bump is just, ugh, it's so annoying. So annoying.
Yeah.
Especially, I think that might be especially true with Valiant though, because like, so Marvel and DC's actually done a really good job, over the last couple of years at not doing that, but Marvel's still in that. Now they're doing that fresh start thing. But a company like Valiant almost has to do that because they get the number one issue bump, but the big thing with Valiant is the variants, right? So like if DC launches a book, there's like an A cover and a B cover and that's it. And then every time Valiant launches a book, it's like, God, let's see how many covers we can put out.
So to go on a total tangent to this, a couple of years ago, David Mack did some variant covers for some Hellboy issues. God, they were beautiful. If you ever come across those, like David Mack Hellboy covers, Hellboy, he did a few like Hellboy, Abe Sapien, whatever. If you find them for like reasonable price, just get them for me.
I
loved them. Yeah, you can find them on eBay. They were from a couple years ago. I saw a tweet, so I sent a message to my my shop owner and was like, "Did you get this?" Because I thought it was the one that came out this week, just the way the tweet was worded. And he's like, "No." And so I went to eBay right when he said he didn't have it and saw that it was from 2 years ago. But it was awesome covers, and I love me some Hellboy. I love David Bat covers. Yeah, they're beautiful.
The BPRD 1953 cover, that might be my favorite.
The Hellboy one?
Yeah.
That's just beautiful. If you ever come across those for like, you know, cover price or, you know, reasonably more, under $10 basically, just snatch them up for me.
I'm going to see if he's at C2E2. He was there last year. He didn't have a whole lot of stuff with him though. But now that I know these exist, maybe I'll talk to him and see where these are at. I'm sure I can't afford them, but...
Insanely priced or anything, like, you know, to pick up the covers. Like, I looked on eBay, but I'm not going to pay $20 for a cover or whatever.
Oh, yeah, no. No, I don't blame you. But yeah, like, Valiant almost has had to do that, right? With the variants. Because Valiant fans like to chase covers, dude. It's a thing. Oh, man, I love David Mack.
Yeah, David Mack's great. One plus from like whatever happens with Valiant, one of the pluses I'll take away from being a Valiant fan is some of my understanding of comics, specifically in the case we're talking about right now, understanding like the difference between like cover art and interior art and seeing who does really great. Like David Mack, man, his cover art, fucking amazing. On the back of that, I checked out, what was the series that he did? Dark Horse publishes it.
The Under?
No. It's, I'm totally going to blank on it. It'll pop into my head at some point, but I stumbled across a couple of really cheap collections of them, and I got it and I read it and like, it didn't really, you know, it's like you get so used to their cover art, and then you see like interior art, and it's very different, you know? Not that it's bad. It's just like, you know, if you love somebody for their cover art, then you think that, you know, them writing and drawing an entire comic is going to live up to their cover art. It's not really going to happen. I love David Mack's covers. And I've seen a lot of other, obviously, people that I really love their covers, thanks to Valiant. Mm-hmm. Like Lewis and Miko obviously are two that, you know, they do really great interior work too, but man, their covers are just fucking phenomenal. There's other guys too, but Adam Gorham, there's one. His covers for Valiant they're the fucking best.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good. His Divinity covers were the shit. Everything he did, like every Adam Gorham cover, like he's somebody that, like, if I see his cover artwork on something I like, I'm gonna love it, you know?
Yeah, he. I almost bought. Remember the when they did the sketch cards in the XO, was XO 50?
Yeah,
they had those polybag covers with the sketch cards in it.
Yeah,
I talked to him about buying the original art for his card, but I just had a lot going on at the time. I couldn't do it. He wasn't even that expensive. He's gonna cut me a deal on it. I'll tell you the price later. I'm not gonna do it on air. But he was giving it to me like half off, and I ended up not picking it up. I should see if he still got it. He's doing good though, dude. He's over at Marvel. He was doing Rocket Raccoon and something else, and I think he's doing the New Mutants book.
Mm-hmm.
Who's writing that? The guy from Black Mask. Oh God, what's his name?
Yeah, I'm glad for it. I don't care how little I care about those fucking books. Like, I'm glad when I see somebody who I really appreciate get a chance at something like that, because I know how tough of a gig, you know, just talking to people here and stuff. Like I was talking to J.K. Woodward about that a little bit. You know, he's somebody that I've been fortunate enough to become friends with to some extent. But like, he just does such awesome stuff, and then just to hear about like how fucking hard it is to do that, like, you know.
Well, I imagine
creators got all my respect.
Yeah, I imagine especially for someone like JK that does like painted stuff, right?
Yeah, he doesn't even do like digital paint and stuff. Like he fucking paints it.
Yeah, yeah, that's gotta take a lot of time. That's probably why like David Mack's stuff is so different, right? Because he does the painting work, and like, there's no way you can take as much time painting a cover as you can painting an interior.
No, yeah, totally, yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Yeah, the artists that do those really fully painted, like, I mean, like, Rye, you know, I mean, those, the interior artwork in that, like, that's why they had to do the, you know, four issues and a break, because it just, it's so intensive to do all that. And yeah, that's the same kind of artwork that JK does, and, but I'm blanking on his name. Clayton Crane, is that who did Rye?
Yep.
Yeah, so Clayton, and he does digital, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does digital painting, so it's a lot easier. I've seen him do some of those pages. He's got a YouTube channel, and he's posted like him doing pages on there. And it seems like it's not easy by any means. So you know, don't take this the wrong way. But because it's digital painting, he can set up like filters and hotkeys and stuff like that to like automatically do certain effects or like automatically do like certain things with panels. That obviously you couldn't do if you're doing like physical painting. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But obviously it still takes a long time because he still has to do like the layout and, you know, sketch over it, paint over it, and I'll do all that post-processing after. But doing it digitally does make it easier from what I saw at least. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's plus. I mean, one of the things following creators on Twitter is you'll see stuff like, "Hey, I did all this work, and then I closed my laptop without saving it," or "I did all this work, and then my cat knocked the zip drive out," or you know, shit like that. It's like, oh my god,
zip drive. What is this? The '90s?
Yeah. What is it called? Flash drive. Flash drive. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
The hell is a zip drive? That's the shit that I used when I did computer graphics in college.
Dude, the zip drive was like the giant floppy. It was like a really fat floppy.
Yeah, and it held so much.
Yeah, it was like 100 megabytes in a zip drive.
Ah, and they were expensive, and I had a special case to carry them in.
God, it's so expensive.
You had to protect them, man. That's what I carried my homework in, man.
Damn.
Put a lot of work in that shit.
That's fancy.
One of my computer graphics classes, it was a weird class. Like the instructor basically like gave us a packet of work to do and then like never told us when to turn anything in. Just by the end of the semester, we had to do it all. Mm. So I went quite a while without knowing what the fuck I was supposed to be doing. And instead of doing any of the work that was assigned in that packet, I had taken a picture of a friend of mine and was in Illustrator, which, do you know anything about Illustrator compared to Photoshop?
Yep.
Okay. So like Illustrator, it's all like, you know, vertex based, right?
Yep.
So I would, in Illustrator, I was completely redoing this picture. Just little by little, just in Illustrator, you know, so just cause I wanted to. And then like halfway through the semester, I realized that there was all this shit I was supposed to be doing. So I pounded through all that stuff, but then the final assignment was basically do whatever you want to do. And throughout the semester, like my teacher saw me doing this. So he's like, just do that for your final project, you know? Mm. And so that's what I did, you know? I must still have that around somewhere. That was probably the best computer graphics work I ever did. I got bored with computer graphics though, because a lot of the projects were just tedious, like design an album cover, design an album cover, design an album cover. Hey, design an album cover today.
God. Wow. School, it's the worst.
And nobody buys CDs no more.
That's true. What would you want a CD though? So much work. You remember when you had to worry about like if it was a CDR or a CDRW, and then they had like CDRW plus and CDRW minus. And
that was only if you bought cheap shit that couldn't play everything.
Well, dude, because when it first came out, like you had to have the right thing.
But I didn't have that shit when it first came out. I wasn't fucking rich. Having the right shit? What the hell are you talking about?
God.
You're a few years older than me. You cared about having the right shit. I was like, I had what I ganked from my aunt.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't always like that, though. Like, I remember the first, like, real computer I had at home was, like, it was some kind of Apple. It wasn't a 2E, but it was, like, around that time, maybe like the one after. Yeah, and by that point, it was already like 10 years old. It was like a hand-me-down from somebody.
Dude, I remember that shit. I remember how exciting it was when my mom did medical transcription. And when she got a job somewhere and they provided her a computer, and then I had a floppy disk of fucking Family Feud I could put in that motherfucker. Mm-hmm. I played Minesweeper till my fucking eyes bled.
Oh, man. Dude, I remember my first computer. I went with my parents to, I want to say Circuit City. And we looked.
That, sir, is where service is state of the art.
We looked and looked and looked, and I was like, let's go to Circuit City. And we looked at like 15 different computers, and I found this HP Pavilion. It had like it was brand new, like a Pentium 3 with like 1 gig. It was like a 1 gigahertz CPU and like, I don't know, 256 megs of RAM. And I was like, oh my God, this thing's freaking amazing. And now I look at it, I'm like, damn, my phone is like 10 times faster than that.
Shit, your calculator's faster than that.
Who has a calculator? Come on, bro. I just ask Alexa. Alexa, 1 plus 1! She tells me.
Hey Siri, it's 1 plus 1.
Siri doesn't know anything.
Shit, she knew it.
Did she? What'd she say? 15?
Yeah. No, she said 2. She can add.
Good job, Siri.
To 2. So what I like about I have an iPhone 8 and I have a fancy fucking Kindle that has the Alexa shit.
Yes.
Bitch is gonna start talking to me because she heard me say her name. But so with the iPhone, you don't just like, first of all, other words trigger Alexa. Ain't shit sound like Siri, but you have to say "Hey Siri."
What's your point?
The iPhone doesn't get tripped by bullshit. Plus, it recognizes your voice, which I like.
I don't know, dude. We have echoes in like every room, and they don't get triggered unless we say the keyword.
I've had a couple of times something that wasn't Alexa trigger Alexa.
Hmm.
But it's only been a couple. Like, it hasn't been a ton. But the thing is, like, the thing that got me was that I got it and I showed somebody at work, and then they kept on saying it because you don't set your voice to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the iPhone, like, you actually set your voice to it, which I thought was cool, but different things. They're both awesome. I love them both.
Meh. Alexa's the best. Now that we've triggered everyone's echoes 50 million times.
That is the best.
Alexa, send Martin 15,000 Mylars or Mylite 2s. And 15,000 halfbacks. Yes. Okay, good. So now everybody is sending me a giant order of comic book supplies. Thanks. God, I hope nobody listens to this on speaker. Be a damn shame.
I don't know. I was surprised when some fucker said they listened to this shit in the car with their kids.
Oh God, what is wrong with
you?
You
remember
people?
That?
Yeah, that's what we.
Who
quit,
was that?
That's when we quit cussing.
I want to say that was Jack or something like that.
No, dude, there were a couple people that messaged me. They're like, "Oh, love the podcast, but can you guys tone down the profanity?" I was like, "All right."
The
I
answer
guess.
Is no. We can't fucking tone it down.
Well, we have, but not for this episode. This is a special episode.
Yep.
Special episode.
Very special episode.
Are you drinking? I'm drinking.
I'm on my third beer, which is also my last beer, so it better do me.
What kind of beer is it?
It's Omission. Pale ale.
Does that mean it's alcohol free?
It's crafted to remove gluten.
Oh, how fancy.
Yeah, I was in the mood. Like, the only reason I had it is I was in the mood for a beer, and I finally just picked it up, and then I had a few the other night, and so... The nice thing about hardly ever drinking is 3 pretty much does do me.
I'm sticking to tried and true, no box of wine tonight, but I am drinking wine. I am drinking a Cabernet Sauvignon. It's delicious. I added 3 scoops of gluten to mine.
That's called fortified.
That's right, it's fortified wine.
You fortify yours with gluten. I fortify mine with tears.
Speaking of tears, Paul, I have tears of joy. I don't know if you've heard the news.
You probably shouldn't talk about that on the podcast. You know, Probably shouldn't even talk about that to me. We really don't need to hear about what you do behind closed bathroom doors.
So the other day I'm recording my new podcast. I'll talk about that later. That's not our big announcement, by the way. We do have a big announcement, so keep listening.
The big announcement's my new podcast.
No,
we'll bring that up
that's
later.
That's also not the big announcement. But so I'm recording my new podcast, and I'm reading the news. And I don't know, we're on Twitter. Yes, because I multitask. I'm recording and reading at the same time. And I don't know where my Twitter feed, I get this article from Deadline. And I was like, who the hell is liking stuff from Deadline? Who reads Deadline?
What is Deadline?
It's like the Hollywood news thing. It's like a Hollywood news website. So now you know.
I go to TMZ for all the news I need.
Oh, God. So anyway, somebody had liked it. I can't remember who. And then I saw Valiant retweeted it, and I was like, oh, this must be a thing. So I open it up, and I'm going to read you the headline, Paul. Breaking news. Well, not breaking news. It was like on Friday. Vin Diesel back in action with Sony's Bloodshot. Valiant comic adaptation with Dave Wilson directing. And I was like, ugh, not another one of these again. I figured it was some more bullshit, you know what I mean? But I read it, and apparently this is a thing, Paul. The deal is done. Everybody was talking about this, what's his name, Mintz. They're like, screw this Mintz guy. Listen, this Mintz guy's getting shit done. He got Vin Diesel to sign the damn contract. So it looks like, Paul, Vin Diesel, whatever his name is, will be Bloodshot. You know, the good thing is, he doesn't need to shave his head, because it's already shaved.
I thought his name was Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, I love Riddick, dude. What was the first one? Pitch Black? Pitch, right? Is that
Pitch
it?
Pitch Black, yeah.
I always get confused with Pitch Perfect.
Forever. Pitch Black, yeah.
Yeah,
what it
Pitch Black
is
freaking awesome.
Pitch Perfect is the one I believe about singing.
Yeah, the cup song. Two Girls, One Cup song.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, the people listening know.
The only Two Girls, One Cup I know is the Sully's Tea making fun of the Sedins, who played for Vancouver, who were the dirty fucking cocksuckers who went up against the Bruins in the Stanley Cup the year I fell in love with hockey.
So I was going to make fun of you for doing the sports talk, but since you talk hockey, I will allow it.
You can never make fun of me for doing sports talk.
Well, when it's baseball, I can. When it's
Let
hockey,
me rephrase
I can't.
That. I don't care if you make fun of me. I love what I love. And you love me, so therefore you have to put up with it.
Dude, our minor league hockey team here is freaking awesome.
So I went to the minor league hockey team here in Maine a couple of times. I actually don't even know if they're here anymore. It was weird because they were down in Portland, and then they didn't like re-up their deal with the place they were playing at. Then they moved up to like fucking Lewiston for a year, and I think they're just gone now, but I think a different team is coming back at some point. But I went a couple of times when they were down in Portland when I still lived down there, and it was cool seeing it. And there was actually, like, the first game I went to, there was a guy whose name I knew from buying hockey cards, because I got an autographed rookie card from this guy. I don't think he ever amounted to anything. But the second game I went to, they played against the minor league team for the Islanders, and the goalie was, and I may be mixing up names, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, it was Rick DiPietro, who was a goalie who a while back was like supposed to be like the next big thing, and he was really good. And then he got some injury and came back and was fucking terrible. But that's not a huge story, because that happens. But he, like, posted something on social media, if I remember correctly, like hinting about suicide. And then, like, after that, like, backed off, was like, I was joking. But it's really strange. So then he was the goalie for this minor league team, and it was really weird, because I was like, I know that guy for very strange reasons. And they lost.
Interesting. Our team is called the Swamp Rabbits. It sounds like a dumb name for a hockey team, because it is. But the reason for that is there's a trail that goes pretty much around most of Greenville County. It's called Swamp Rabbit Trail. And so that's why it's called that. They used to be called something else, and they rebranded it because they got a new owner. Funny side story. Did you know that Tim Tebow played hockey?
What doesn't that man do well?
You didn't know that, did you? So Tim Tebow played hockey for the minor league hockey team in Columbia, which is the state capital of South Carolina. He played for like a year or two. Now it's like, what? So yeah, anyways, Tim Tebow. Sports talk. Back to real talk, Paul. Real talk with Paul. You should make that your podcast name.
Do you want me to get the sports out of my system before we move on? I got more.
I'm done with sports. Let's get back
you
to
You are going
to
hear more about it. Your choice here is, do you hear it now or do you hear it later? Because
there is more
I will be saying.
I'll hear it later.
All right, then.
And I'll cut it out of the podcast.
If you cut any of it out, I will cut parts of you out. And there'll be parts you like. They'll be the fun parts.
All right. Well, that went downhill quick.
Yeah, as usual.
Yep, there we go. Welcome to the Valley Essential Podcast, where we talk about balls. All right. So Vin Diesel's going to be Bloodshot. This is set in stone. Dave Wilson's directing the movie. I think he was the co-director of Deadpool, if I'm not mistaken. So that's cool, because Deadpool was freaking awesome.
Deadpool was great for like 20 minutes.
Oh, dude, Deadpool was great. My wife hates comic book movies, and she loved Deadpool.
Did you watch it a second time?
Yeah, I've seen it like 5 times.
Oh my god, it's so tedious the second time.
And here's the bad part. I hate Deadpool as a character. I think he's the worst thing ever created.
But yeah, Ryan Reynolds was good in the role.
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds.
I've always said Deadpool is the ODB of comic books. Like, he's good as some flavor in somebody else's shit, but on his own, he's just too much.
I don't know about the ODB, because I'm a ODB fan. R.I.P.
Well,
maybe he's more like the Flava Flav of comic books.
He doesn't really hype up other people very well.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Well, no, plus, ODB is correct.
Oh, my favorite part of Deadpool.
Have you listened to ODB?
Oh,
every single ODB song is like one verse of coherence breaking down into non-coherence for the rest of the
song. Yeah, that's why it's great.
Well, it's something. It's something for sure.
And he's not even on beat. It's freaking awesome. I love it.
A little known fact, a little tidbit here. I saw Wu-Tang Clan perform all together the last time they ever performed together before ODB died.
So what I'm hearing from the story is the reason that Wu-Tang Clan broke up is that you went to their concert. So we can all thank Paul for there no longer being a Wu-Tang Clan.
I'm pretty sure it was probably the drugs that killed ODB.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Or
his 35 kids.
There's a documentary too about the show that I went to. Like,
oh really?
There's a documentary about it. It was crazy. And seeing the documentary, I thought, I'm a little afraid that I was there. I'm glad that I didn't see this until I was not there anymore, because it was some scary ass shit.
Hmm. I should watch this. What's it called?
I'm gonna have to look it up. Yeah, I know it's a Rock the Bell show.
Find that on
the yeah. Know. I'll see if I can. Googled it. Hey Siri, what's the documentary about Rock the Bells?
She doesn't know.
Fuck you. It's not Jingle Bell Rocks. What the fuck is wrong with you?
See, I told you. She doesn't know.
No shit.
She doesn't know. It's okay. I found it. You want to know what it's called? It's called Rock the Bells.
Yep, that's it. Yep.
Good job, Paul. What's the documentary about Rock the Bells? Rock the Bells. We found it. No problem.
So at this show, Sage Francis performed and got booed off the stage and loved it, and it was fucking awesome. Idea and Abilities also performed, which is the only time I saw them. Idea has since passed away from a drug overdose. That's very sad. I saw some, man, there were some other really cool things I saw there. It was a good show. I went with my buddy Clean, who is also a rapper. That's that. So Rock the Bells. Don't go back in time and go there because you might get killed.
Wu-Tang. Who was on here?
Also,
Chuck D was there?
He didn't perform.
I don't know. It's on the cast list.
Well, yeah, of the documentary of fuckers talking about it that weren't there.
No.
This was the day before my 21st birthday. So on the way home, it passed midnight, so then I was 21. So my buddy Clean bought me my first 40, and I discovered for the first time that 40s are not good.
Ah, white people, I tell you. Bloodshot movie! It's great!
I'm excited. Like, honestly, I'm excited about it. I had a friend ask me what I thought about Vin Diesel being cast. I had forgotten that the last talk was Jared Leto.
Yeah, thank God.
As far as Jared Leto goes, like, the only positive I could say is that he's a name people know. So, you know, when I cared about the growth of Valiant, I was like, oh, that is better than somebody that nobody knows. But Vin Diesel is good for it. Like, I don't care what you think.
Look, everybody knows Vin Diesel, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Say what you will about the Fast and the Furious series, of which there are 300 movies, and I think they're making more. Say what you will about that series, but it's like one of the top grossing series for Fox. I think Fox owns it. I think it was like one of their first like billion-dollar things. So look, everybody knows freaking Fast and the Furious. The kids love Vin Diesel. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, I mentioned the Chronicles of Riddick. I haven't seen those movies in forever. But, God, I've seen them in other stuff. Like, I honestly, I couldn't tell you for sure. I don't remember clearly, like,
Triple X.
How Vin Diesel is. Yeah, I don't clearly remember how he was as an actor, because it's been a long time since I've seen him in something, because I don't watch a lot of movies anymore. It's been a long time since I've watched many movies. But he, at the very least, is a, you know, solid enough actor that, and he's a big name, you know, it's like, it's not a bad thing for fucking Bloodshot. Like, I think he's a good guy for Bloodshot.
I agree.
A lot better than, you know, fuck Jared Leto's Joker. That's all I gotta say.
Well, now we're gonna get Joaquin Phoenix as a Joker.
Who the fuck is that?
Are you serious, Joaquin? You never seen her?
Yeah, I don't know who Joaquin Phoenix is.
Oh my God, I love Joaquin Phoenix.
He was Johnny fucking Cash, dude.
Yeah, he was Johnny Cash. He's freaking awesome, dude.
He is good. I mean, I'll have to see it to see how he'll be as Joker, but. I mean, shit, you saw Heath Ledger's Joker. Fuck.
Speaking of which,
I very seriously was considering using the 10 Things I Hate About You poem in this episode, but then I finally looked at the lyrics. I was like, no, that's not going to work at all.
Dude, I saw that movie in theaters.
Yeah, I think I did too.
Yep. I loved it. No shame in my game. That was my jam.
I enjoyed it then.
Oh, I haven't seen it since then. So,
so speaking of terrible movies of that era with those actors, did you ever see? Oh shit, I'm gonna have to look this up. It was a Freddie Prinze Jr. movie.
Of course, it was.
I think Julius. Yeah, I think Julius. Come on, phone. Fuck. What the fuck is wrong with you, Siri? Okay. Oh shit, I'm on IMDb. That's perfect. Stop doing shit, phone. God damn it. Okay, let's see. Freddie.
You talking about Down to You?
What's Down to You? I think it might be Down to You.
Freddie Prinze Jr. and Julia Stiles?
Yeah, my cousin was in that movie.
Really? Wait,
yeah.
Mike?
No.
Oh,
that's actually
cousin.
My wife's cousin.
Oh, that's
I
right,
didn't know
that's
him
right.
back then. My cousin Joseph, who is an actor, was in that movie. It was Down to You. That is the one. I have seen it once to see his part. It was fucking terrible. The movie, not his part. My dad would not take us to the theater to see it. I was like, I want to see my cousin on the big screen. He wouldn't take us. Because he went with like my stepmom to see it once, and he's like, no, I'm not gonna take you to see that.
Wait, who's your cousin?
His name's Joseph Stevenson.
Okay, I'll see if I can find him.
He had a very, very small part.
Oh, okay.
So he had one line.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, that movie had a Nerdy Legion Podcast Network favorite, Rosario Dawson.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There were some names in this movie. Selma Blair.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Orth.
Dude, I used to love Selma Blair back in the day. She was awesome in Hellboy.
Ashton Kutcher was in this?
Mm-hmm.
The problem was that the Hellboy movies fucking sucked.
You're wrong. It's okay.
Oh, man. My cousin's name isn't even that far down the list. Joseph Stevenson. He doesn't have a picture on here. Yep. He was Ted McGurran.
Nice.
Yeah. They had a scene where there was a series of, like, relationships that didn't work out that they represented by, like, opening a door. It'd be, like, a boyfriend. Something happened. They close it. Open it. There's another one. Close it. You know, and vice versa for Freddie Prinze Jr. and his girlfriends that didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So my cousin was allergic to Julia Stiles. So it opens the door. He says, "We can work it out." And he sneezes.
Mm.
And that was his part.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the Hellboy movies, the thing, and I haven't watched the whole movies in a very, very, very long time.
Shame on you.
And I'm sure I would enjoy the movies, but my problem is that Hellboy is presented as, like, he's presented as a teenager, which, like, years that he had been alive-wise, yeah, maybe he was technically a teenager, but his maturity level wasn't that of a teenager. And they presented his relationship with Liz Sherman as, like, a fawning romantic relationship, which is fucking bullshit, and that makes me mad. And that's my problem with the old Hellboy movies.
Oh, so your problem isn't that a teenager is played by a 60-year-old man?
No, not really. I'm fine with that.
Whatever. You're wrong. Hellboy was great. Hellboy 2 was great.
Martin.
Yes.
Did you see The Simpsons where Hans Moleman played Bart?
Nope.
It was fucking awesome.
Nope.
Do you know who Hans Moleman is?
I do know who Hans Moleman is. But
he played Bart, and Homer was just like, I accept this. And he kisses him on his head because he's his son. And he said it's like kissing a peanut. And he keeps kissing him on his head. True story.
The Simpsons is a terrible TV show.
The first 12 years, maybe 11. The first 11 years were so good. And then it's been so bad ever since then.
Is that still on? That's still on, right?
It probably is. I don't have cable. I don't need to know that they're, like, still reanimating the corpse of something I loved.
Dude, it wouldn't be. It's a Fox show. It's not on cable.
I don't have fucking TV.
Oh, yeah, I don't either.
I stream.
Dude, we have an antenna hooked up to our TV and we've never used it.
I tried hooking up an antenna to watch the Super Bowl. Like, I actually went out and got, because I got a cheap ass antenna to watch the World Series and I was just able to get Fox. I had to do it in my kitchen. I had to put it in just the right spot. But whatever, I got it. And I only spent like $10 on it, so that was fine.
Mm.
I bought a $50 antenna to watch the Super Bowl because it should have had the capacity. I was like, if it works, cool, because I'll be able to watch football next year. Didn't fucking pick up shit except Fox.
I returned it. We watched the Super Bowl on the ABC Sports app.
That's what I did, too, when the antenna didn't work.
Yep.
It was a good Super Bowl, too. It was very good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable.
It was all right.
It was a wonderful Super Bowl.
I mean, it was great because the Patriots lost.
I would have thought it was great even if they won.
No, you're wrong.
Because I'm not a dick.
You're wrong. Bloodshot! So,
Bloodshot was in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Bloodshot was in the Super Bowl.
Bloodshot would be so good in the Super Bowl because, you know, he'd fucking kill people and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so this thing's starting to film in July, apparently.
That's exciting. I've mentioned this before, but, one of my remembrances of being excited about a movie that had vague news was The Rum Diaries, because it was based on a Hunter S. Thompson book.
Hmm.
And I was so excited about it because I loved Hunter S. Thompson. By the time the fucking movie actually did something, I was past my Hunter S. Thompson phase. The movie finally came out, and it was fucking awful.
Well, you know what? It's Vin Diesel, so it's going to be freaking awesome.
I'm excited about it. Like, I mean, they're going to pump this movie out, is what my assumption would be.
Yeah, and from what I get on this news, it looks like they're still using Eric's script, Heiserer. So that's good.
Good
for them.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I mean, honestly, like, how can it not be enjoyable to watch?
But by the way, this is not current Bloodshot. It's not Ray. It's, what's his name? Angelo. Remember Angelo? Dude, Angelo was freaking, he was a badass Bloodshot. That's when he was, like, busting heads of all those gangsters. You remember that? That was the good Bloodshot. He didn't give a fuck. Talking about,
it's like VH1 Bloodshot?
Yeah, dude, Angelo Mortali.
They are making the movie on the 90s Bloodshot?
It says that it's going to be Angelo Mortali.
That's fine. Like, it's fine. I'm honestly just kind of surprised.
It's going to be Bloodshot fighting zombie nanite gangsters. And vampires. Oh, God, vampires. Vampires were the shit back then, dude. You remember that? There were vampires all up in Bloodshot. Who else had vampires? Shadow Man had vampires? Who else? Somebody else had vampires.
That's probably all the fault of Interview with the Vampire, right?
Oh, man. Oh, dude, yeah.
It's the vampires and everything.
Absolutely. I remember the our principal in... What year was that? I don't remember. I was probably in, like, middle school. He came up to me and he always talked to me about, like, he wanted me to be reading more. And which is funny because I ended up being an English major, but he's like, you need to read more. And finally, like, we went out summer break, I came back and I can't remember what his name was, but I was like, hey, Mr. Blah, blah, blah. I read a bunch of books over the summer. He's like, oh yeah, what'd you read? And it was all like, what was the author of that book?
Anne Rice.
It was like a bunch of Anne Rice stuff. Like I read that like whole Interview with the Vampire series. It was like 50,000 books. And some other crap. And he's like, that's not books to read. You need to read real books.
That's stupid. Cause I mean, even if that was like popular fiction, like those were still like dense books to read. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, bullshit to read. Let's take a brief intermission here for a few minutes.
Intermission.
2 hours later.
Are we done talking about this Bloodshot movie now that you're back?
Yeah, I think we're done with it.
Great. Let's talk about exciting stuff before we get to our big announcement.
Like money?
For this episode.
That's what's exciting, DMG, is money.
Well, I mean, like, money? If DMG wants to give us money.
Money on my motherfucking mind.
Then that's fine. Sage Francis liked your tweet, by the way.
I don't know, I saw that a while ago.
So, Paul and I have new podcasts.
Yeah, we do. Mine's awesome.
I don't know, I haven't heard it.
Me neither.
I keep hearing about this podcast, but I haven't heard it, and it's not out.
It's a slow build, slow process, slow churn.
Tell me about this new
podcast. So this new podcast, everybody can look out for this. It's the aptly titled, Paul and Michael Occasionally Save the World. I argued.
Who approved this?
I argued God. God approved it.
Oh, no, I didn't, but continue.
I said God, not Big Baby Jesus. I argued for it to be called Michael and Paul Occasionally Save the World, but apparently it sounds better if the shorter name is first, so I was vetoed.
It's true.
So that's the title of the podcast. So basically what it is me and Michael Sparky, producer extraordinaire, who I brought into the Nerdy Legion in the production role.
Who's
now gone out on his own.
Here we go.
And he started doing a podcast with his cousins called 2BT, even though there's three people on it. So it's called Two Bald Texans, but it's three bald Texans. I'm assuming they're all bald. I mean, they're Texans.
Well, I mean, two and three start with the same letter, so I'll allow it.
Well, yeah, but it's not TBT. It's 2BT, the number two.
Minor technicalities.
Yeah, no, the flaws are what add the greatness. That's really where you should go with that. There, like, it doesn't matter. It's fantastic. I've listened to a few episodes of it, and it's quite an enjoyable listen. They also have the benefit that most of us haven't had of recording in the same room. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that adds a different touch to a podcast that most of our podcasts don't get.
They have a pretty fancy setup, by the way.
Yeah, that's because his cousin used to do a podcast, and it's probably back in the days when, like, you had to have, like, proper equipment.
Dude, all right, let me tell you about back in the day. So my first podcast was in 2005. Okay. This is like when podcasting first started. It lasted, I don't know, like 20 something episodes. It was a tech news podcast because I used to run this website called Tip Monkeys. Which like back in the, it was when, you remember Lifehacker?
Sure.
All right. Well, some people will know Lifehacker. It's like when Lifehacker first started, I was like, oh, I want to do something similar. So I did a website like that and we started a podcast, and podcasting back then was fucking terrible because there was no equipment. There was no software. So you had to like jerry rig everything. So the way that I had to do it is I had to get this like adapter box to hook up. First we did a little adapter box to hook up a telephone, so we'd have a call, and then that routed all the audio to my computer, and I could use like the built-in Windows sound recorder to record. And then there was this other thing where like it took like a USB headset, and you can convert it to like the 3.5 jack. I don't know. It was complicated. It was so complicated, and you had to route like the output of the sound to the input. Because you couldn't record, like, what you heard on your headphones. You could only record on the microphone side back then. So it was so complicated. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, so anyways, you know, Sparky, like, he started, you know, he wanted to be involved, and he started doing production first for me, for some things. And then he started picking up for some other people, some just because he wanted to do it. And I think that we all recognize that he added some special touches to stuff with his abilities and talent and his, you know, ability to focus on certain details. One of the things with Sparky and I is that we've been talking for a long time. Like, I still remember the first time back when we were, in our little group, the Slack channel was where it was at. It's where everybody was conversing. And, the first time I think that Sparky and I really connected was when I mentioned some, I don't remember what book it was, but I mentioned a book and we got talking about literature. And just like you and I have that bond where, you know, we both have degrees in English and backgrounds thus. And, so, you know, we have a little bit of a more of a bond than just comic books. It was the same thing with Michael and I. So, you know, we got talking about that stuff. We got talking about other stuff. Dude, that fool keeps up with all the stuff I talk about. like he knows, like, seriously, how old is Sparky? He's got a bit on me. He's older than you.
Yeah, he's a couple years older than me, I believe.
Yeah, so I mean, he's got a chunk older than me. But like, he knows all this shit I talk about, and I know all the shit he talks about. So both ways, it's impressive because like we can keep up with each other fine. We have similar tastes and stuff. We have similar philosophies and stuff. We have similar experiences where we both have family lives that are very consuming. You know, we both have children that we're responsible for that require extra attention in different ways. He's especially when I didn't really know what was going on with my son. He was somebody that I could talk to, and he understood where I was coming from, and not a lot of people do. Like not only with my son, but then also just with the other stuff I was going through. So mm-hmm. like we had quite a bond, and ever since we kind of made that connection, we've just been constantly recommending stuff to each other. So all the time, we're like, oh man, you got to check this out. Oh man, you got to check this out. A good example, like one of the best examples that illustrates why we ended up deciding to do this podcast is when I started listening to Brother Ali, which I've always known who he was. Like for you know, over a decade, I've known who Brother Ali was, and I've heard him here and there, but never really, really listened. I started listening to him, and then his new album came out last year. And that album, just especially the timing and everything, it really, really resonated with me. And so I told him, man, you got to listen to this. And it was kind of the same thing with him, where it really, really resonated with him. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, I mean, that was kind of the start of it. Like, you know, that's just a great example where something that was really meaningful to me was able to be really meaningful to him also. And, you know, like you recommend a lot of stuff to me, but you know good and well, there's a lot of stuff you like that I don't like. So there's mm-hmm. stuff that you're going to recommend that I'm just not going to be interested in. There's vice versa. There's stuff I like that you're not going to be interested in. So like when we recommend to each other, there's always going to be that element of taking it with a grain of salt. You know, like you can absolutely love something, and I'll check it out if you really love it, if I have the capacity to check it out, but I might not really care.
Well,
vice versa,
that's because I have great taste and you have poor taste.
Well, you know, that's one viewpoint. The other viewpoint is that you're undiscerning and I'm discerning. Mm. You know, I mean, there's different ways to look at it. It's just all words.
Sure.
But yeah, so what kicked it off, like what made us actually start it was, Best of the Rest was mentioning that they were going to start doing some, like 70s sci-fi books.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asking if anybody wanted to jump in. And Sparky said, I would like to, but basically there's no way he could keep up pace. So I sent him a message like, if you're going to do a second podcast, you and I should do one. And he said, if I was going to do a second podcast, I would do it with you. And then we just kind of got started. So we started talking about what we were going to do and how we were going to approach it. So our basic formula, and it'll change over time, like as all good podcasts do, you know, you adapt with how things actually work. That's how this one worked out. We started trying to plan stuff, and then Michael Myers ruined everything and fixed everything all at the same time. But, you know, so, stuff develops. So right now, kind of what we're aiming to do is we're aiming to release it monthly and record over a period of sessions, because both of us have a lot of constraints with our time, and it's not as easy as just planning a time and then sticking to it for us. So we're finding time when we can and recording, and we're both aiming to bring three things we want to talk about, whether it be things we just are really enjoying, things we want to recommend, or potentially even like questions we have for each other. Like in what will be our first podcast, one of the things that kind of crossed both ways is he wanted to ask me about my recent piqued interest in the Lord of the Rings. But at the same time, I wanted to make it one of my, this is what I'm hyped up on right now, topics. So I took it as one of my three topics. That's just kind of how we're approaching it right now. And then the conversation goes where it goes. It's not like we strictly talk about three things each. We bring up what we want to bring up, and then we let the conversation roll. And ultimately, we're aiming to play more with other aspects of it, like, you know, formatting and editing and just different things that we could do to kind of make it our own thing, because both of us, I think, kind of have a taste for, you know, it's like you've said, like Mike says, you guys want to record and just drop it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I think both of us want to, like, we like adding those extra elements to it. So I think we're going to play with that and see what we can do with it.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll have a variety. There's no set topics or like set genre or, you know, medium or anything like that. So we'll cross different things. I mean, we talked on our first episode, which we, it's not edited and put together yet. Like we're still in the process of putting it all together, but we talked about everything from Scrooge McDuck to, what was the book that Ronnie is talking about a lot lately? The Spencer and Locke.
That's really good, yeah.
It's like all different stuff, like Lord of the Rings, video games. We talked video games, we talked movies. We tied it into GBT where they did the top movies list. We actually talked about Sparky and Maya's lists. It'll be all over the place. And we also called out for, you know, once we get listeners and people, like if people want to recommend stuff for us to check out or anything like that, like we'll tie in, you know, outside suggestions as well.
Nice. Spencer and Locke is really good, by the way. That's actually,
I want to check
right?
it out. Yeah. Ronnie was talking about it a lot, so then Sparky checked it out, and when I get the chance to, I'll check it out too.
Nice. Awesome. Paul and Mike occasionally save the world. I got to figure out how I'm going to put that. That's a giantly long title. I don't know if that'll fit on the website.
I know for the Twitter handle, I just made it occasionally STW. Oh, God, there was something else I was going to say, but I lost it. So proceed.
That's cool. So if you subscribe to the main Nerdy Legion podcast feed, it'll just show up automatically. If you don't, just stay on the lookout for Paul or Mike. I'm sure they're going to bring that up on social at some point. And, of course, I'll be retweeting it.
Yeah, I've made a Twitter handle as well. It's, as I said, it's at occasionally STW. And while we talk, I'll double check that and make sure I'm not being stupid and wrong. And I also made an email address, which would be the same as the Twitter handle. Yes, it is at occasionally STW. The email address is occasionally STW at gmail.com.
Nice.
But yeah, so the last point I was actually going to make that I forgot, and then I just remembered, is the reason that we're occasionally saving the world is a big part of our conversations ongoing with each other have been focusing on positivity and focusing on making things better. And, you know, a lot of times we use the things that we like as distractions from the negative so we can kind of help ourselves shed those things off and stay focused on the positive things. But, you know, at the same time, like, you know, we talk about there's all different kinds of podcasts and shows and stuff like that. Like on this podcast, we've been critical about stuff. We focus on the criticism of stuff. We've been angry about the criticism of stuff, all that sort of stuff. And man, you know, focusing on positivity and focusing on the, you know, what good you can get out of stuff. When you focus on yourself that way and you share yourself that way, you share that with other people and it gives them the potential to be a little bit more that way. And the more positive we all are, the better our lives can be and the better we can impact each other's lives. And it's amazing the impacts we can have on each other. We've talked about that a lot on this podcast, how the most significant thing about becoming Valiant fans has been the friendships that we've made and the impact that we've been able to have on each other. And, you know, it's been one part of the problem lately is we've had all this positive impact and you get to the point where everybody just decides that they just want to be ugly and negative. And regardless of how happy or disappointed we are with what's happening, man, just making people's lives ugly just because you are unhappy is just fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of why we're doing it. And also you won't hear me say stuff like fuck on the podcast because we're going to keep it clean. That is a focal point for us is we want to keep it clean. Because part of the reason we want to be able to record when we're just at home with our families.
Sure.
You know,
we
can't record in the middle of the night like you and I are doing right now. So it'll be clean, it'll be safe, and approachable for all.
Fair enough. Well, I also have a new podcast, which you can check out now. The first episode came out Friday. It's going to be at least twice a week. I'm aiming for 2 or 3 times a week. Sometimes it might be daily. But it's called Comic Talk Today, and you can find it at nerdlegion.com/podcast/CTT. So my thing with podcasting is a little different. I wanted to try something that was new for me. And I think, so you've done mostly this podcast. I've had the opportunity to do several podcasts on the network. And the more that I do, the more that I want to try different stuff. All right. So like what we do here on VCP is different than what I do with Ronnie and Travis on Aftershock Central. And then what Nick and I do on Nerdy Legion podcast is completely different and up the wall. But I wanted to do something a little bit more formatted, but also very free. And so Comic Talk Today is a very free-form podcast. It's going to be just me, but I'm bringing in different people throughout different episodes. So some days it might be just me talking about like comic news and why that crap matters. Some days I might want to dive deep into like comic sales, which I don't have a platform to do that. Some days I might want to just talk about a particular character or like books that I read or like stuff happening in movies or whatever. I want to do like really deep dive stuff. So right now the basic format of this thing is there's going to be one episode that's like kind of news heavy. There's going to be an episode called The Rant, in which I take one topic and dive super deep into it and just go off the rails. Aaron Bell from the Absolute DC podcast is going to be joining me. We don't know what the scheduling will be for Therapy Thursdays. And I'm not going to spoil that because if it works out like we hope it will, it's going to be hilarious. But it will be comic focused. And then I want to bring other people in. You know, we've got a ton of people on the network. Obviously, I want to have Paul on. I want to bring in the Best of the Rest guys, the 2BT guys, you know, Ronnie, Travis, everybody else. And just have like genuine conversations. And my main focus for this podcast is I want to try different things. So I'm not only playing with the format in the audio version of the podcast, but I want to try different formats. So there is a YouTube channel. I haven't made it. Well, I mean, I made it, but I don't have an easy link. But if you look for Comic Talk Today, you'll see the YouTube channel. So I'll be doing some video stuff. Because there's stuff that I want to do that I don't think will fit well in like an audio format. So like, I want to talk about like comic book supplies. And like, I can't do that on an audio podcast because I can't show the difference between like a regular bag and a MyLite, for example. Or like if I want to do a walkthrough of like Comixology Unlimited, I can't do that. On audio.
You can't show how sexy a MyLite bag is.
Oh, God, MyLite is so sexy. If MyLite was a woman, I would hump it.
Have you seen the fullbacks?
Fullbacks are so nice. I use halfbacks.
I have one fullback in my collection. I have one fullback.
Yeah, I use halfbacks, but fullbacks are really nice.
Oh, man. They are... You just don't even need the comic book. Just have the fullback.
Yeah, just put a fullback in a CGC case.
Do you want to know why I have a fullback?
No, why? Is it a turtle thing?
It actually is, yeah. So my shop did a Kickstarter for a Jim Lawson thing. So it's a Jim Lawson special variant cover for a TMNT issue. And it was delivered to him in a fullback with the not just the there's two different kinds of MyLites, right? It's the thicker MyLite. So it is just like fucking comic book sex right there, man.
Yeah, the MyLite 2s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're well worth it, dude. They're like super expensive for a piece of plastic, but well worth it.
$200 per book.
And then like if I order, so I've been on this weird kick where I want to get weird ass shit. Right? So like for some reason I got into Kang the Conqueror. Like all of a sudden he's my shit. And, you know, maybe I bought a CGC Avengers number 8. I don't know. You know, what if I want to take it out of the box? I can't do that in a freaking audio podcast. So anyways, I'm playing with this thing. I don't know what's going to happen. But,
I like that. It's like, yeah, you can't really represent the tension, the build of releasing a CGC copy.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's going to be a few times a week. Comic Talk Today is the name of it. The first episode came out Friday. I had some really great feedback on it. There'll be another episode out the same day that this comes out. Because, Paul, I didn't tell you this. This is coming out, like, Monday. We're not going to do this on a regular day. And then, like, you know, every couple days there'll be an episode. So check that out. Comic Talk Today. There's no Twitter. I'm not making a Twitter for it. I have too many Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
And I just can't follow it. But there is an email address. It's comictalktoday@gmail.com. Very simple. And again, the website is nerdylegion.com/podcasts/CTT. It's on iTunes already. By the time this episode comes out, it'll be on Google Play Music and Stitcher as well. That's it. Travis is not on this episode, but... You can still hear Travis on the Aftershock Central podcast, and of course, on the Valiant Comics review at onlythevaliant.com. So, I guess that means it's time for our announcement.
But before, as a lead into that announcement, I'll say I had a little conversation with Travis earlier, and one little part of the exchange I found entertaining. We were talking about something, and I mentioned, you know, that he's on Aftershock Central, and he said it has less of a listenership than this podcast does. And I said, well, it's more than I have for my new podcast. And so he's kind of like, what? I was like, yeah, we don't have any yet. We haven't released it yet. I just thought that was kind of funny. Talking about listenership, like any of us are doing this for listenership.
Yeah,
it's a nice thing to hear the listenership, let's say that, but if you're doing a podcast for listenership and you're not, you know, selling ads and shit, then, you know, it's not like it really matters.
Yeah.
It's fun to talk about amongst ourselves. I thought that was an exchange today that, gave me a little smile.
I agree. All right. So let's get to our announcement. Are you ready, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
So we want everyone to know that Paul and I talked about this, and we have decided that this will be the last episode of the Valiant Central podcast. This is the reason why Travis is not on. I spoke with Travis either yesterday or the day before. I told him we were making an announcement. I didn't give him full details, and I'll give Travis full details. I'm not going to give full details on the podcast. It has nothing to do with Paul and I not liking each other. It has nothing to do with timing or anything like that. That's kind of where I want to leave it. Is that fair?
Pretty much. Things have run its course in more ways than one is pretty much. There's multiple factors of how things have run, and we're ready to you know, keep things moving. Let's say it that way.
There you go. So, obviously Paul and I still love Valiant very much. I still buy all the books. I know Paul doesn't, but he still loves Valiant anyway.
I still spend money on Valiant, but I just have to, like, I hit up Comixology sales and shit like that. But
yeah, exactly.
I gotta be patient. That's the hard part.
We both still love Valiant very much. So I want to get that out of the way before rumors start. It has nothing to do with our love of Valiant. I think, you know, we've been doing this podcast for how long now, Paul? Like almost four years.
Not almost four, but over three. Well, a little bit over three.
But definitely over three, because this is episode like 160 something.
We started in January 3 years. It was just after New Year's.
Yeah. We're way up there. So we're somewhere in our fourth year. And, you know, I think, you know, not to toot our own horn, Paul, but considering the fact that we very early on opted not to talk about news or do book reviews or anything like that, I am extremely surprised that we have managed to come up with content that anybody would listen to for the past 165 episodes.
Yeah.
Paul and I talked about this a couple months ago. There were some things going on. We thought about maybe winding the podcast down. That's part of the reason why the podcast has been coming out every 2 weeks instead of every week. It's part of the reason that we brought Travis in as well. And really, I wanted to do like 214 episodes or whatever, just so we'd have like one more than OTV. but, you know, I don't want to force the next 50 episodes if we're not going to be putting out the best possible content that we can. And I feel, and I think Paul agrees, that it's best for us to kind of take a back seat for now on this podcast and see what happens in the future. Maybe we'll come back at some point. Maybe we won't. Not sure yet. But for right now, this is the last episode.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what the future will bring? But, you know, we got to a point where we just felt like we were getting cyclical with what we were talking about. It was just kind of the same things over and over. And, you know, OTV, they did a hell of a thing. I mean, they started well before Valiant relaunched. And that was, you know, born out of a great love for Valiant. You know, so what they accomplished speaks a lot to their love and passion for what they were talking about. But they were also in a place where they had a great body of work from 90s Valiant to talk about that was fueling them. You know, so that's where they were starting from. And I mean, we're at a place that a whole bunch of people are doing Valiant podcasts, and we don't have the desire to cross over what other people are doing. And we don't have the desire to just grind a week in, week out thing. And, you know, there's a multitude of other factors as well. But ultimately it just comes down to our main facet for doing this podcast has always been just about enjoying doing it. And it's not that we don't enjoy podcasting together. It's that centering the podcast around Valiant isn't the same thing that it was before. And not just because of the changes that have happened with DMG. And, you know, obviously we know what those changes are, so I don't need to recount them again. But just, we've ran out of stuff to talk about to an extent. Talked about the same things. I mean, if we're not going to review the books, like, how much new stuff is there? There's not that much. So yeah. There's plenty of sources for everybody that loves Valiant. I assume that collecting Valiant is still coming out to some extent, but they it's not like they were ever putting out a ton of episodes. But we have them on the network. And yeah. they're all, I mean, the biggest reason for that is they all love Valiant, are passionate about what they do, but they're also very busy motherfuckers that are doing that podcast, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, as they're still doing their thing, you know, you guys got VCR, you guys got Talking Valiant, you guys got Get Valiant. So there's other Valiant podcasts out there. And as far as having Martin and I to listen to, Martin does 7,000 podcasts a month that he's on for exactly 30 seconds each. you'll get a little less of me for right now, but you know, it's all about balancing things out and seeing how stuff works out. As I said, Sparky and I are aiming to do once a month with that podcast, but we're already so eager to keep going with talking about stuff that it wouldn't surprise me at all if we, you know, end up being bi-weekly before long.
Yeah, I was just on Gotham by Geeks, which is a Batman podcast, and Chris Campbell from the now defunct Valiant podcast. He and I had so much fun. We're going to be doing a regular bit on Gotham by Geeks about collecting Batman stuff. And I think it's just going to be us two. And then I'll be guesting on that podcast as well. So you still hear me there. And like Paul said, I'm on a bunch of podcasts anyway. So I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. And Paul will be on Comic Talk today, so it's not like you won't hear Paul and I together. So there's that. Yeah. I wanna thank everybody who has made this podcast what it is. You know, when we got it, I'm pretty sure you and I had never talked before we started this podcast. Like, really no. Talked, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, we had...
The night before we recorded, you called me and we talked for a little while about, like, what our plan was.
Yeah, that was the only time we verbally talked before we started doing the podcast.
Yeah. And then, you know, 165 episodes later, I've gotten to know Paul so well. He's become one of my closest friends. And we don't always agree on things, but Paul, I want to thank you for being my co-host on this podcast, for igniting a passion in me to do podcasts again. Like I said, I used to do a podcast, and for a long time I didn't do it. And really, a lot has come from you and I deciding to do this crazy shit shenanigans that we call the Valiant Central Podcast. So I don't thank you enough and don't tell you enough that I appreciate you, but I do. You're an awesome dude and you're an upstanding dude, and I appreciate you doing this with me. Don't cry, Paul. It's okay. While Paul regathers himself, I'm going to thank everybody else.
you joke about that, but this podcast has been like, leaving this podcast is a hard thing for me to do. I mean, we both have other podcasts that we can do, so it's not like we're not done with podcasting. We're not done with podcasting with each other, but you know, one of the things that Valiant and this podcast has been a part of with my life is starting from when we started this, like, this has seen me through some of the worst and hardest times of my life with having health issues that I didn't realize, back issues that I didn't realize, having we started this when my son was quite young, and it was when we were starting to figure out that, you know, he had developmental issues that we were working through. There are so many things about Valiant and about this podcast that go beyond just doing the podcast. But, I mean, moving to Maine, it's like I knew my wife's family. And I made one friend who ended up moving to Chicago not that long after I became really good friends with him. And he's actually moving back this summer, by the way. So I'm very excited about that. My buddy Kyle and his wife Bree, who my wife worked with, and their daughter Greta, who is about the same age as Sammy, a little bit older. And then they have a son as well. But so it's like we got for some friends moving back that were there kind of from the beginning of being a family with a child. Yeah, I mean, God, this podcast, there was just so much stuff that I was going through. And this was a release, like, between the podcast, between Valiant, between becoming friends with people. And going back to the beginning, like, you're certainly the one person that I was getting to know back when, like, I was getting more involved with the community that, like, you get to know people and you feel like you're friends with everybody, but there are people that you're friends with and there are people that you realize you were just really good acquaintances with, and when the cause for the acquaintanceship dwindles, you find that, you know, you're not really, you still like them, fine, whatever, but you're not interacting with them anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, you're definitely the one person from the beginning that's, like, definitely a really strong friend. But then, you know, this stemmed into a lot of other friendships that have been quite meaningful. I talked about the podcast that I'm doing with Sparky, and that basically comes, like, not from, like, one central, we both really like this, let's talk about it, but, a broader connection. So this podcast has meant a lot. Everything that this podcast represents, everything that we've done and the people that we've connected with, has been a very big part of a very big transitional period of my life.
Yeah. So yeah. This podcast has been great. You know, we became friends, and, you know, as a result, we have gained a large circle of friends because of this podcast, right? It's like, yeah, Ronnie and Aaron and JC and Justin and Sparky and Nick and who am I missing? Aaron, even Mike and John, you know, all that stemmed from this podcast, all those friendships that we've cultivated over the last couple of years. We met a ton of cool people through the Valiant Facebook groups. And it's been interesting because, you know, I think oftentimes as comic book geeks, especially adult comic book geeks, we often don't have time to foster those kind of relationships in real life. And I think, you know, some of the people that I've met who started out as listeners of this podcast and now have become great friends, it really means a lot to me to be able to have those people in my life, you know, even if they're not, you know, living next door down the street where I can see them all the time. Obviously it means a lot, you know, that's why, you know, last year we all got together at C2E2. We had a great time. We're going to be, this year's even bigger, right? Cause like Jay and Dennis are coming over. JC's going to be there. So even bigger than that. And hopefully next year we can get Paul out to Chicago. And we can have the whole crew together. So if you've been listening since, episode one, I want to apologize to you for putting you through, several hundred hours of shenanigans, but know that Paul and I appreciate you sticking along with us. If you come on later on the podcast, then I appreciate you sticking around. And it really means a lot to us that, you know, anybody really listens. You know, it's funny. I've got a, my oldest daughter is 14. She's my wife's daughter from a previous marriage, but she loves the stuff that we do. She doesn't listen to all the podcasts, but she loves the fact that her dad's such a nerd. And you know, she's always telling all her friends, like, "Hey, my dad does this podcast. Like, go listen to the podcast." And I think it's freaking awesome. And you know, if it wasn't for the fact that you know, I've garnished these relationships over the last couple of years, then none of that would be possible, you know. And it just means a lot to me. I had this whole speech planned, and I can't even do it because I might be crying. I might start to cry.
Well, I didn't quite get to it, but I wanted to, you know, thank you also for all that you've done, you know, for me as part of all this. But you know, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for you doing the technical end of stuff. I, you know, never was really in the best place to figure out the technical end, mostly because like my computer's always been a piece of shit. But you know, like you've always like it's been your knack, but you've always taken care of like all the details so I could just come on and do this shit and have fun. You know, you've really grown us doing our own little podcast into something that's quite a bit bigger. And you know, it's come from our enthusiasm and our inviting nature, drawing other people into what we're doing and then them wanting to express themselves in a similar way. And, you know, with you, when you look at all the stuff that the Nerdy Legion's done, like you've been the backbone of the structure for it all, which is the only reason it's all there. But then between the two of us, like we've been able to foster so many people that have wanted to do something. Most of the podcasts you look at, the Nerdy Legion, either started out from you and me or one of us generating it with them to kick it off, or us bringing them on to something else and then birthing it into their own thing. So it's, you know, it's pretty cool to see all that, and that that's come from you and me working together in a way, but it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you doing the structure of it. Just like the Valiant database for anybody who was really into using that, like, man, that was 100% Martin's blood, sweat, and tears into that shit. So during the latter day, are you even keeping that shit up anymore? I haven't even heard a word about that in a while.
So it's not up to date, but I'm actually, when I get some time off, which is very rare, I've been saying this for like a month and a half or two. I'm moving it to the same server that the Nerdy Legion site is on, because that way I can save on a lot of costs. So it's not up to date, but it will start being up to date again within the next few weeks.
Yeah. So my point in asking about that is just that when you know, when stuff got hectic with you and it wasn't always running the smoothest and people started griping about it, man, I was ready to fucking rip into people. Because it's like, seriously, I know what you put into this, and people were just like, not everybody got it. You know, some people got it and were very grateful. But not a lot of people got, like, you didn't, like, even if somebody was doing the Patreon for it or whatever, like, that wasn't even a drop in the bucket compared to what you put into that shit for everybody to be able to enjoy it. And that was a motherfucking feat. So from everybody that didn't appreciate it, thank you for the Valiant database, because I didn't use it that much, but I knew how good it was even if I didn't, you know?
Well, for everyone that didn't appreciate it, go fuck yourselves. How about that?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man.
It's free. Get over it. Yeah. But since you said that, I mean, I do want to thank people that took the time and effort to actually join the Patreon for that and for this podcast, because even though it doesn't add up to a lot, it definitely means something that somebody cares. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Quite a few people that we're good friends with now and that are doing podcasts on this network actually came specifically from you doing the Valiant database. So it's just amazing how everything connects up together. But
yep.
We got a lot of people to thank for being involved in this. you know, going back to the beginning, we know that Mike Myers was like our spirit animal at the beginning, where we were trying to figure out how to go about this, and he came on and started swearing, so that way we couldn't keep it clean, and and he imparted the philosophy of just record it and put it out, and that's always been a bit of the character of the show. You know, Sean from Only the Valiant was one of our first guests. I think, was he our first guest, or was it Josh? I think it was Sean.
Yeah, I think Sean, and then Josh, and then Mike.
Either that or, you know, I think Josh actually might have been first, and then Sean was second. But with Josh, we were still kind of figuring it out and getting our feet under us. And I think Sean was the first time that I felt like we had a really solid conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And weren't just kind of finding our way. And then Josh was on like 7,000 more times.
Yep.
So that was great. We love Josh. Yeah, of course, Mike, Daryl, and Chris doing the Valiant podcast were the people who made us want to do a Valiant podcast specifically.
Absolutely.
You know, they had a ton of fun with it.
I make fun of Daryl all the time, but I got to say, I'm going to say it on this podcast. Daryl, I love you. Obviously, Chris and Mike, but I tell them all the time. I never tell Daryl. You know, I shit Daryl a lot. Partially as a joke, because he's got his own network, TaylorNetworkOfPodcast.com. You know, you're absolutely right. If it wasn't for the Valiant podcast, then we would not have started this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we saw how fucking awful they were. We're like, we can do that better.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. I want to thank, this is like the Oscars show. We're about to get kicked off the air. I want to thank all the creators that throughout these last couple of years have come on the show and talked to us and shared their stories with us.
Yeah. Tom Fowler was our first one. I remember yep. being so nervous
oh,
about
God. Fowler
having
was the
him
best.
On. He's fantastic. I don't know, the way he comes off with stuff, like, he always makes me think of like Lewis Black or something like that. Like, you just think he's gonna like find a reason to rip India or something like that. But he was a hell of a guy. And he's one of those people too that just fallen on Twitter. It's like, I may not interact with him much, but when you do, you know, it's always a pleasant interaction with him when you're doing it the right way. That's for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, we've had so many. Matt Kent's one that I love. That I've been able to interact with him some outside of the show, and you know, he was in our fantasy football league for 2 years. Busy dude so for him to take any time out for us is cool. You know, like we had Jeff Lemire on, and Jeff Lemire was just all business and then on his way, which was, you know, we were certainly grateful for that because it was great having him on. But
and not just Matt that, Kent, Jeff was like one of our first guests.
Yeah, he was pretty early on. I think I know Fowler was before him. I feel like Kent was before him, but like Jeff was pretty early on. It was I think right around when he started Bloodshot Reborn.
Yep. Yeah, it was episode 6 or 7, because Matt didn't come on to like 63 or 64, I want to say.
Oh, so man, we had Jeff real early on.
Yeah, yeah, we had Jeff super early.
I guess it took us a while to get Matt, and you know, it's too bad that we never had. Oh shit! I just blanked out his name. Yeah, Fred. You know,
I mean, technically, Fred was on this podcast.
Nope.
We just
never
weren't
on the podcast. Nope. That is, I'm pretty sure that was a terrible nightmare that we had. He was never on this podcast. Even though I set it up twice, Fred. Twice I set it up. Twice! Fucker.
That's alright. Ronnie was on that podcast. That's okay.
Yeah, we love Fred. He got to talk to Ronnie on some miscellaneous podcast that doesn't exist anymore. Josh Dysart was a fun one to have on.
Mm-hmm.
He was late for various reasons, and he was
that we can't talk about.
quite a doll about it, but we love Josh Dysart. He was great to have on. Eric Heiser was one of the more recent ones that we had on, and Eric was a real pleasure to talk to. And I've talked to him a couple of times off, you know, not on the podcast, online, I guess is
yeah,
not on the podcast. And he's I like him. He's a real genuine dude. I like what he's created, and he's one of those people that if I ever could have the opportunity to throw something his way that supports him, I would, just because of how genuine he is. You know, he and Matt Kent are both that way for me.
Yep. Well, Venditti was that way for me.
Oh, yeah, Venditti, yeah. So, he was on with us.
I loved having Venditti, because Venditti is somewhat local to me, so I've seen him at cons many times. I love talking to him at cons, because we talk about, like, grandma's Italian recipes, you know? Because, you know, he's got an Italian grandma as well, so it works out pretty well.
Venditti's got a big piece of my heart, like... I'm not gonna lie and act like I'm reading his DC books, but I'm very
happy. Oh, dude, it's so good.
He's doing well there.
His DC book is so good.
I should check out reading it. Like, yeah, check out Hoopla or whatnot. But yeah,
check it out.
Yeah, whenever I have the opportunity to, you know, to support him in a way I can. Like, I don't think he's in the position anymore where my support will make a difference in his success. But
he's doing all right. He's doing okay for himself. That Venditti.
Are we forgetting any other creators? I mean, we know, of course, that we had Dinesh and Warren. We've had Warren on twice, yep. Once with the big group, but once by himself as well. And we appreciate both times that we had him on. Dinesh, Hunter, and...
Adam and Fred.
Adam and Fred, yeah.
Yep.
That was a hell of an episode, having all of them on.
Yep, it was awesome. It was awesome. That was Dinesh's idea, by the way. Because I think we had originally planned to have like just Warren and Dinesh on. And Dinesh is like, hey, how about I just bring Adam? Hey, I'll bring Fred and Hunter. And all right, whatever, dude.
Yeah, it made it something special. I mean, we did something there that no other Valiant podcast has done. Like, people have talked to Dinesh. People have talked to, like, nobody's had... like the whole fucking heart of the company on, and now it'll never happen again.
Well,
from the company is DMG.
I think OTV did when they do the poker game, right? At what show is that? ECCC maybe? I can't remember one of those shows. But you're right.
SDCC.
Yeah, there you go. Either way, it was special. It was special. It was great to have him on. So
yeah, well, there's a difference between like going to an event that they're all at and recording them, and I mean that's something special too. Like, they've done stuff that we haven't been able to do for sure, but like getting all of them to come on our podcast, where like that's it. You know, I mean, it's not like catching them at an event. There's a little bit of a difference between, like, you know, okay, I caught you here at this con. Let me stick this microphone in your face, even though they obviously, you know, want to talk to you as well. You interviewed Dinesh before that way for our podcast well, but there's a difference between that and having them on the podcast where there's not those other distractions and all that. So, you know, we definitely appreciate them all taking that time and coordinating that.
Agreed. All right. I think it's going to be time to wrap it up one last time. And Paul and I talked about this. We may do an episode here or there, but officially, I want to thank everyone for listening to the final episode of the Valiant Central Podcast. You can still find Paul on Twitter, at Who's Paul. He's on Facebook also. Probably like Paul Tesner. That'd be my guess. That's his name.
I'm on Facebook to an extent, but honestly, like, I'm using that more just for family and weeding that down. So hit me up on Twitter, at Who's Paul. You can also find me on the trophy for the Valiant Central Fantasy Football League.
Here we go.
2 years running. We'll be 3 years running soon.
I knew that was coming.
that is one way that Valiant Central will live on, because that will continue to be the league. And I will continue to be the elitist geomancers, because we all know those geomancers are some elitist motherfuckers.
Yeah, they are, especially when they wear those sweet JNCOs and the puffy vests. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go read some VH1 geomancer. Yikes. All right. I'm on Twitter, at Geekvine. That's the only place you'll find me, because I don't do Facebook. Be on the lookout for Paul's new podcast, Paul and Mike Occasionally Save the World. Go check mine out, Comic Talk Today. Thanks for listening. For the final time, stay valiant, friends.